the one American in this podcast.
For the one American in this podcast. The one important American in this podcast, I shall point out. A real hero and an icon to millions, youths and kids, and look up to me.
Shouldn't you talk about me like that? Talk about me like that, Earl.
You wish I was talking about you.
Although you got the part where you said I was American. That's wrong. I'm not American.
So joining us this week, since they both noted that they're not American. Actually, this is the second time in a row we've ended up with one European and one Canadian. Is Mike and Daniel. Say hello, gentlemen.
What up?
And I know we mentioned at the beginning that I'm the only American, so this is really only important to me, but I'm kind of curious if there was any type of Black Friday deal for you two this year.
I think there was. Canada's kind of jumping on the bandwagon, but nothing that made me want to go out and buy it. So.
Amazon had some, like, instant sellout things over here, and we also had the Steam sales, which are actually disappointing if you ask me.
Yeah,
I bought more games for other people than I did for myself.
I didn't get a game.
You don't have a PC that can play games?
I have a PC that plays games. I didn't hear any offer about, let me buy
you
a great
girl. Well, I bought someone Left 4 Dead 2 in the orange box, so.
I have those. Well, I don't have them on PC, but.
You already have them elsewhere.
Yes. And I really try not to have the same game on two different consoles. If I can avoid it. As I tend to do, went a little Black Friday crazy, and I got, we'll stick to just the games. I got Malramusa the Demon's Fade, I got Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, I got Silent Hill Shattered Memories, I got God of War Collection, and I bought Ratchet and Clank: A Crack in Time, this morning.
How much would you say that all set you back, Earl?
That all set me back, I can actually count the 65 bucks.
That's not bad.
It's pretty good.
It actually is for, like, what, six games?
I managed to get both the Deus Ex games that have been released, and I ended up not liking... I know I'm going to get chastised for this, but I didn't like the original Deus Ex, okay? I like Invisible War.
I actually prefer the second one as well.
You like an opposite person.
The old one is just too old in, like, gameplay wise, and Invisible War is kind of like, you know, the casual Halo shooter thing. So I bought that. I also bought, obviously, Left 4 Dead 2 and the Orange Box for somebody else I know. And I bought, what else did I buy? Torchlight.
How do you like that?
I've been meaning to get it, actually. I just didn't want to pay £15 for it. So I saw it was on sale. I was like, buy. It confuses me at points because it's like, you've completed this quest. I'm like, now where do I go to finish it?
Yeah.
It doesn't tell me a lot, but other than that, it's just, you know, just easy because I can just run through a dungeon and just kill things.
Totally. Yeah, that's what I thought too. It's a nice supplement for when either the sequel comes out or Diablo 3.
Or when you want to kill things. Or when you want to kill things.
Yeah.
So I guess.
I discovered yesterday, and I'm going to make this go. I discovered the thing where you get your pet items that you find, and you just click a button, and your pet runs off and sells them for you. I was like, oh my god, this is the greatest thing ever.
I know, right? There's so many awesome little touches. It's, man, I can't wait for that.
How much was it on sale for?
I paid like £3.75 on it, so it's like six, maybe
like $5.
Yeah, $5.
Give or take. I honestly haven't been paying attention to the Steam deals just because I know I'll end up buying stuff. And as you said, you have me on Steam. I don't play games on Steam ever.
I have to say, if you're into indie games, oh my god, this sale has been so good to you. But other than that, it hasn't been great.
Well, we know you're a huge indie game supporter. I mean, we know about your love of Black Ops and that little company that could. That's Activision.
Considering the top, the games that are in my favorite section on my Steam list of games are all made by either Valve, Bethesda, or Activision. You know, I just support indie. Oh, Valve is an indie developer. You know,
can they still be counted as an indie developer?
I'm gonna say yes.
Totally.
I mean, because they own the platform at this point.
Independently.
Okay.
I don't buy it, but I'll take it. I'm not going to get into it. It's just, you know, it's kind of hard to say to people who own the platform you're buying the games on are an indie developer. It's like saying Sony's this tiny company that nobody's ever heard of.
Well, Valve don't publish games, do they? Well,
don't they?
Other than themselves. No, they just...
Yeah, they publish their own games, so... I mean,
well,
on the PC.
Except when it comes to console.
Yeah, on the consoles, they have, like, EA and... Who
anyway, let's move on.
We could parlay this into what you've been playing. I mean, you have a whole stack of
suppose.
Games, so...
I have. I've been playing... To be specific on what I've been playing, the stuff I bought in the sale. And I played, like, an hour each, because I haven't got time. I haven't had time to play them that much, and I've been playing... Mainly Poker Night at the inventory so I can get those damn TF2 items because the game cheats.
Oh, I've been. Is it true it has no multiplayer?
It has no multiplayer.
Ah, that's not fun.
Basically, what you're doing is you're buying the game for A, the TF2 items, and B, the banter between the characters, which is actually really funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is really funny.
Oh, Valve is one of the few developers who get humor.
Yeah, but
it wasn't written by Valve. It was Telltale.
Oh, and I get humor too.
I think it was headed by Jake Rodkin and Sean Vanneman of Idle Thumbs podcast, which is really funny.
Yeah, banter is really funny. It's worth the money just for the banter, to be honest. Other than that, I haven't been playing much.
Have you not been playing any more Black Ops?
I have. But I'm getting really sick of it. It was late because I've been just been playing it and it will lock up and I'll have to open the task manager and kill it if I want to.
The what manager? Anything. Oh, task manager.
Yeah, task manager. Because I play it on the ancient antiquated platform that is known as the PC.
Yeah, you would think that a game that runs on an Xbox and PS3, which are what, 4-5 year old technology at this point, should run on a PC pretty well, but.
Considering the oldest hardware in this thing is what, just over a year old?
Yeah, know? And like I said, the Xbox is 5 years old at this point, so. And even to Activision to screw you over. I guess it just means you have to write a 360 version. I mean, it wouldn't be the first.
I was planning on getting it anyway.
Because you gotta support the little guy, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Mike? I saw that you just finished Bayonetta.
Yeah, the past week I've been going at that. I try to do one game at a time before I start others. And I've had Fable 3 and Fallout kind of in the background, but mostly been trying to finish Bayonetta, which I started like 3-4 weeks ago. And it was really good. I had a lot of fun with it. I don't really like third-person action games too much, but this one, I don't know, just... fun. It was weird and different, and the style was awesome. Oh, go on.
I can't stand Devil May Cry, but I really like Bayonetta, even though I haven't finished it.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was nice and different. I mean, it was, I don't know, just kind of,
it's batshit crazy is what I love.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love when games do that.
It was like the Inglourious Bastards to World War II movies.
Yeah.
And, like, there's hiccups here and there. I mean, like, it's still has some trouble with story and stuff, but the characters were really good, and there's, like, a lot of really nice little touches that they do well. Like, loading screens, for example. They're playable, which is awesome.
The thing I liked is the fact that you can play in the loading screen, and it gives you a whole list of combos down the side of the screen, so you can try them out in the loading screen.
Yeah, I think that's genius, and that's what makes me not enjoy other games like Devil May Cry or Ninja Gaiden. It's just like I just end up using one or two moves because they're easy to remember, whereas this gives you a solid list every time you're loading and time to practice it, which is awesome.
Now, I was going to ask, did you buy it at full price, or, I mean, at this point, I assume it's like dirt cheap most places.
Yeah, I got it for like $30 at Best Buy or something.
Oh, I was going to say, I know it was like 15, 13 bucks on Black Friday. Apparently, I was sleeping during that deal. Kind of pissed me off. I was sleeping. It's like, I do go to bed at sometimes. This was like at 8 in the morning. Because I woke up and I went to GAF, because I usually check GAF to, and for those who don't know, that's Game and Age Forums. I check GAF like every day to see what like, the Best Buy, the Black Friday deals were, and people are like, oh, you just missed Bayonetta. It's like 13. I'm like, damn it. I mean, 20 bucks isn't bad for it. I just don't want a game where, and this is probably going to sound, you know, weird, but I don't want a game where I know I'm not going to get all the achievements in.
And there's a lot there, too. Like, I have no hope for getting all the achievements. I mean, I spent like, it's like a 19-hour long game. It's pretty cool. But there's a lot to it. Like, there's so much depth. And I can't imagine getting all the achievements would be easy.
Although it is fairly long for what it is, I'm kind of glad I didn't pay full price for Bayonetta.
Yeah, agreed. Just because I'm not into that.
The only games that I would buy full price that are single player only are things like Fallout, because I know I'm going to get a lot out
of
them.
Yeah, I can see that.
Wake up, publishers. Come on.
Yeah, so what else have you been... Oh, I have been playing... what is it? Crap. Donkey Kong Country Returns, which I finally defeated yesterday. And my initial impressions are still pretty much the same. It's one of the few games where I really wish they didn't do motion controls in.
Really?
It's not so much that the motion controls...
There was a minor technical glitch here when Chad entered, so the conversation was cut off near the end. Chad's gonna enter here, and then we'll continue the discussion with Donkey Kong right after. Thank you.
That's what I was going for, actually. I'm prepping for my WWE tryout.
Badass. Nailed it.
Thank you.
Needs more music, though, when you enter. Less noise, more music.
Making his very noisy return is Chad, who has joined us on this episode. Say hello.
Good afternoon, gents. How you doing, Internet?
Okay, so I was in the process of telling him about Donkey Kong Country Returns before you, Ruji, interrupted.
Hey, you brought this upon yourself.
I did not expect you to come with that much noise.
I always bring the noise, you know this.
Ooh.
What is that ooh for?
I'm
calm down,
fire right now.
Calm down.
Anyhow.
Okay, before Earl has a heart attack, we'd better finish this.
Like I said before, my problem with Donkey Kong Country Returns is not so much that it has motion in it, is that they decided to map motion to roll, ground pound, and brill, so you have three motions on the same thing. And sometimes you end up rolling when you want to ground pound, and ground pound when you need to roll, and then sometimes when you want to roll, it doesn't respond as quickly as you need it to.
Okay.
So it's kind of there's not a point. There aren't many points where you actually need to roll to jump, but it does give you forward momentum, and it's kind of annoying that it doesn't always work. And, I mean, it depends on the setup. I don't really know how they would have fixed it, because if you can use the Wiimote and Nunchuck, or you could use the Wiimote sideways. And if you use the Wiimote sideways, I guess you would have to use, like, B or A, and that's just never comfortable. And with the Wiimote, I guess they could have done it with, like, Z or B, but, like, B and Z are grab, so it'd be confusing using three buttons for a platformer, I guess. But, yeah, it's a fun game. It's beat it. The final boss kind of reminded me of Master Hand from Smash Brothers.
Is the hand?
It's not the hand, but it's, like, you fight a giant head, and it has two hands, and you have to destroy the hands first, and then you have to destroy the head.
Is it that crocodile? Bonga, bonga. Donkey Kong games?
No, it's not King Karoo. It's because they don't have any of the Krimings from the Donkey Kong Country series.
What?
It's the Tiki tribe. I guess I don't know if they didn't want to use rare characters or what, but none of the, like, prior villains from the old games are in it, so you fight there's, like, birds and bats and, like, Tiki mask and stuff like that. You don't have any, like, alligators or giant alligator men or King Karoo and stuff like that. The only thing from the old games is Diddy Kong and Cranky Kong, really.
Okay, so is Cranky Kong Donkey Kong from the original Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So every game with Donkey Kong having a tie is Donkey Kong Jr.
I don't know if it's Jr. or Donkey Kong. Like, he was mentioned that that's his grandfather, that he's the grand. I could be mistaken. I just know that the original was Donkey Kong. I always assumed the new one was Donkey Kong Jr., but like in this game, I think he mentioned something about being his grandfather, which would make Donkey Kong Jr. Donkey Kong's father.
So there's someone missing in the Donkey Kong lineage, you're saying?
Yes, I am.
I think the lesson we need to learn here is don't try and make a story out of a Nintendo game franchise.
About monkeys.
Well, I mean, there is...
Because there's obviously no continuity between them.
No, there is actually continuity between them. That much is set up where it's just that we don't know if Donkey Kong... Okay, yeah. So the Donkey Kong is Cranky's grandson, which would mean he's Donkey Kong's junior's son, which would make him Donkey Kong Jr. Jr.
What? Okay.
Or Donkey Kong the Third, I guess, would be the correct term.
Fucking Inception. Jeez, okay.
I also tried out Tatsunoko versus Capcom. Oh, it's like 5 minutes. It's kind of interesting. I knew it was a simple fighting game. I didn't know it was that simple, because really, you know, he has like an attack button, a special move button, and then like a tag team button. And so like, it's kind of...
Like simpler than like Super Smash Brothers, or?
Well, not, I guess it's simpler than Marvel vs. Capcom. Because like I said, it has a button to do attacks, a button to do specials, and then a button to do like a... You know like how the Versus games have those huge mega moves?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Those are the three buttons. There's not a high punch and a low punch, or a high kick and a low kick. There's just attack, special, and team ups. So... I'm sure Capcom worked their magic, but I've only tried it for like 5-10 minutes. I don't know half the characters, or I know more than half the characters in the game. So it should be fun to just kind of randomly try out people and see how it works.
Hmm.
And I think that's about it. So since he's the latecomer, Chad gets to finish this off for us. What have you been playing?
I don't know. You might have already talked about this. I mean, you should have already talked about this.
If it's a game you're playing, none of us have played it. I can almost assure you
that. That's not true. This is about as mainstream as it gets.
I'm going to assume Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
Pac-Man Game of the Forever Edition, yes.
I've only played the demo of it, and it was a pretty fun game. I thought it had some type of multiplayer aspect, but I guess I'm mistaken.
Leaderboards, that's probably about it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, because they have two different Pac-Man multiplayer modes that they could put in the game. They have Pac-Man Versus, and they have Pac-Man Battle. I'm actually a huge fan of Pac-Man Versus. I would love to see that on a system that doesn't need 3 GBAs. It's actually a pretty fun and simple concept. I mean, you have people as the ghost, and you have somebody as Pac-Man. It's like, you know, it's kind of, you know, Pac-Man has a full maze, and the ghosts don't, but they can hunt him.
Yeah, but that wouldn't
like
work
that.
In... CDX, because it'd be like 51 player and there's 50 ghosts and one Pac-Man.
Well, what I mean is like if they did an old school versus mode, you don't need to do it like the DX version. That would be really trippy though if you had like 100 ghosts chasing you and they're all.
I have to admit, I think I played the demo. I didn't play on my 360. I played on somebody else's, and like you're going around waking all these ghosts up as you go past, and you've got a huge trail of ghosts behind you to think, oh shit, I better not fuck up. And then you get a power pellet, and then you just turn around and go, you are mine, and you eat them all. It's brilliant.
That is the greatest feeling in the game, just seeing that score rack up.
Yeah, it really is. And it gets to a point where there's actually, like, strategic pellet wasting that has to go on. It's like, you'll get a pellet, and there's some of the ghosts that you'll want to eat because you have to eat them to move on. But then you totally want to leave all the ones following you alone so you can keep building them up. So I've actually gotten power pellets and then not eaten any ghosts with them just to build up an even bigger multiplier. So I'll like not eat any ghosts the whole time and then just eat them all in the last like 30 seconds.
What is your record?
I don't even know. I haven't played for a few days, so I forget. But it's not anything impressive. I saw on Twitter that Ryan Scott has like close to 2 million points, like in 5 minutes.
Wow, that is impressive.
Which is amazing.
Yes, it is. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first like Pac-Man-esque game that I've played since like Pac-Man, unless you count four-player Pac-Man that I played at the arcade cabinet at E3, which was...
Pac-Man Battle.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Which, again, it's like, they have that and they have this one, and I don't get why they don't include it or bundle them together. It's like a Pac-Man online. Because I'm sure Pac-Man sells well, and having Pac-Man you can play with friends is going to sell even better.
Oh, certainly.
I would get it. So what else have you been playing?
What else have I been playing? Well, other than the obvious, of course. I've been playing a lot of the new Naruto game, Ultimate Ninja Storm 2.
Oh, yeah. How is that? Because I remember you were dubbing that as your game of the year before it even came out.
Yeah, I was really, really anticipating that game. I was super excited. It's still really, really good. It didn't quite live up to what I wanted it to be, I don't think. They changed around the adventuring mode a little bit. It feels a lot less adventure-y and more you're actually just walking really far from point A to point B with no real discernible reason for doing so other than they need to pad out the length a little more. So it's kind of frustrating. Like, it's... In the other one, in the first one, there was a whole bunch of stuff you could do outside of the battles that kind of... That was actually distracting, and you could get lost in, like, running around and collecting money or collecting, like, ninja tags or scrolls or whatever. But this one doesn't have as much of that, at least thus far. I've probably only put 4 or 5 hours into it, 'cause it's a super busy time of year for me. But the battles themselves are much better. The boss battles are incredible. It's still probably the best looking game that I've played. The best looking cel-shaded game that I've ever played in my life.
That is odd. It's the best cel-shaded game I've played that's on the PS3 that was released this year in October in my eyes.
Well, they do look really good. Like, it's absolutely gorgeous.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know. I still think Wind Waker holds up remarkably well.
This blows that out of the water.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to have to check it out. I have cel-shaded games. That reminds me of, like, I guess we can talk about this off-camera or off-air. So I guess that should do it for what we've been playing. I guess anybody has anything else to add?
No.
I don't.
Okay, so we'll see you on the other side. So, welcome back. This is our new segment, which should be rather short because of Thanksgiving holiday. There was pretty much only 3 days worth of news, and even then there was nothing that came out of note.
Wait, news is new?
News as in new? What?
I thought you said this was a new segment.
No, this is news segment.
Okay.
I just decided to invent a new segment and throw it on you folks without knowing it. You're all going to have to name your favorite games backwards, starting with 100. I guess we can start off with, Daniel can probably explain this better, Crytek's first-person shooter for Korea.
Oh, yeah, so Crytek, not only did they spell Timesplitters wrong, but they spelled Europe wrong as well, and so they're releasing a first-person shooter game called Warface in Korea.
Warface?
Warface. So now we're going to have... It's like they're running out of names or something.
That's actually the best name in the world for all the wrong reasons.
I'm a huge fan of Warface. it doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. So,
who are you? I'm Warface. I'm ready to fight.
It's basically going to be one of these free-to-play PvE and PvP first-person shooter games, and they released a couple of screenshots, and it's like another generic sort of Modern Warfare type thing then. But
that will make millions.
Or in Korea only for now.
When a name like Warface, I was expecting a bit more something crazy, like people dressed up in like all types of war paint.
Like Gunhead. Have you heard that? At EA?
No.
It was like an EA pitched game about someone named Gunhead, and it was actually a guy with a gun for a head.
Surely you're being facetious.
It's like the most badass thing you'll ever see. Like, he's just got a huge revolver on his face.
Yes, yes. He's one bullet shy of a full clip. Gunhead. His head is an effing gun.
It's Jesus. Amazing.
Why wasn't this made?
There's concept art, and it'll blow your face off.
Yes, it would. Apparently, it threw his
face. That's either a very ironic or a very well-placed choice of words.
And the funny, why does he still need guns at this point?
Because he's gunhead.
Yeah, why would you?
Why
need
not?
They need to get this into full production.
I'd buy it. Apparently, there's a comic book coming out.
I so want Gunhead.
Hell yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I think we can call it a wrap, dude. It's nothing like this top Gunhead this week. So.
Anyways, Warface. It's like the sequel. It's like his dad.
But it's not as fun. It's an actual war game. He doesn't have like war paint, or he doesn't have a gun at his head.
Yeah, so basically the main thing that I'm concerned about is it's not Time Splitters and it's not being released over here.
Well, you just said it's generic.
It looks generic. Oh, the thing that probably differentiates it is it's on CryEngine 3, if anyone cares about that. If that makes a difference. You know?
Yay.
What's, like, monetized about it? Like, guns?
I don't know. They haven't said much about it, but...
Ammo.
But I think that Crytek have kind of struck at the wrong time, considering Korea is probably more concerned with violence in real life than violence in video games.
Ooh, fair enough.
So, you know, shit going down there. It's just really weird that they say, you know, bang, free game, bang, Korea, bang, Warface.
Are you saying Crytek started the war between North and South Korea?
No, I'm not saying that. I think that it's just odd timing, you know? Because we've got Homefront, which is like World War III from THQ, started by Korea. And now we've got another game that's headed for Korea only. You know, not great timing.
Fair enough.
And the thing is THQ keeps talking about Homefront. It's like, yeah, this is coming true, so be quiet, THQ. You're scaring everyone.
So, yeah, back to Gunhead.
Really?
How do I petition EA to get me Gunhead made? But, yeah, speaking of games that probably shouldn't be made, Ubisoft announced Assassin's Creed for next year.
It's funny that they do.
Didn't
that.
They specifically say they weren't going to do this?
No, there was a. I think the main producer said that they wouldn't really make it a sequel. And then like Ubisoft came out the next week. It's like he has no say in this matter. If we say it's coming out every year, it's coming out every year.
Nice.
And then he hasn't said anything since then. And then Ubisoft announced like they have an Assassin's Creed, and I assume it's going to have more multiplayer focus like Brotherhood, because according to Ubisoft, the multiplayer aspect of Brotherhood has been driving sales, where I guess it's ahead of Assassin's Creed 2 at the moment.
It's funny because I was speaking to somebody not too long ago and they were really excited for Brotherhood, and I was like, you watch, Ubisoft are going to make that a yearly release, and they were like, no, they announced one for 2012 and they said they were going to do one before that, and then like 2 weeks later they said they were going to make one in 2011, and I just started laughing. Because contrary to popular belief, Activision aren't the kings of the yearly release. Ubisoft are.
I think Activision is.
No. Splinter Cell, the first Splinter Cell game that was released on the Xbox, right? So they released it, and, you know, a ton of people bought it. Most people were impressed with it. And Ubisoft was like, right, this is back on the Xbox original. They were like, right, we're going to get another studio to develop one for next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. The only time that kind of stopped was when they took, how long was it to do Conviction?
I was going to point out that Activision had Tony Hawk, which was like every year since, what, 99? So...
The problem is, yeah, but I would argue that Ubisoft are better at it, because Ubisoft...
They're better at it, but...
They're kings of the yearly release, because of the fact that they're not really...
They can
really
sell
them. Yeah, and they're crappy Uplay thing. What the fuck? At least Activision doesn't bother with that.
Not yet.
Not yet. I've said Uplay is the worst thing. It's like...
Really? I never really minded it that much. I mean, it seems unobtrusive enough.
It's not the fact that it's obtrusive. It's the fact that you have to buy, sort of, in-game skins. It's like, fine, just giving me, like, an arbitrary certain thing to do, and you say, here it is. But instead of me getting these Uplay points and then going on the website and unlocking them there and then linking the Uplay to the awful DRM on the PC, you know, I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Anybody else on Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed? Would it be 4 or 3? I don't like when these games start getting funky numberings.
You know, I did not realize up until like a couple of weeks ago that Assassin's Creed Brotherhood was actually the sequel to Assassin's Creed 2.
It's the sequel, continues
the story and everything. Like,
yeah, but I think Ubisoft's argument against it being a full sequel is, oh no, we were planning on doing some other assassin for Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure the next one's going to be
Assassin's Creed. This is the extra story bit, as if they were doing a Half-Life 2 Episode 1 thing.
I can see that. That'd be cool.
I know, but it just allows them to turn more Assassin's Creed games out that way.
So, I mean, at this point, I guess you can't say that gamers don't accept these sequels, because they do. So how can people get around from this? Because the only way it's going to ever happen is if Assassin's Creed just becomes a terrible game, I think.
The problem is it's not terrible. I would say it's not terrible, but...
Is Nolan North in it?
I hope not. What? Oh, yeah, he is in it. Awesome. He's Desmond.
Totally.
Oh, wait, yes, he totally is.
You know who loves these yearly fucking sequels? That guy. He's making so much money right now.
I wish people would stop casting him. He's just
so cool.
He's not so cool now. Now, Nolan North.
He was cool when he was Drake
and only Drake. Now he's the generic voice that everybody goes to. Because I know
that James would just star Nolan.
I don't know if you knew this, but he's in Halo 3 and ODST as well.
Not only that, but I don't know if any of you... He's also in Young Justice. He voices Superman and Superboy.
Yeah.
Well, he's still cool when he does actual characters, but so many of his characters at this point just are Nolan North. Like,
yeah, it's just like, oh, we'll get him because people know him, like, and he's just talking.
Like, he's good as Deadpool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a lot of people.
He was. I liked him in Prince of Persia. I like him in everything. I think I have a man crush on Nolan North. It's weird.
It's sad that you only have a man crush on his voice.
I don't know. He's kind of charming.
I don't know. Have you seen Nolan North?
I've never seen him. That was going to be my point. I've actually
he's
never seen him.
He's pretty handsome.
Okay, now you might have a man crush.
Mafia 2, War for Cybertron, Alpha Protocol. It's ridiculous. You have to go out and buy these games now, Clevel.
I will.
This Avatar.
Just for him.
Avatar the game.
He's just going to pitch
Dragon
him.
Dragon Age Origins.
Oh, he's in GoldenEye?
Is he?
So it says. I wonder who he is in GoldenEye.
If you go on IMDb, it tells you.
I'm still not going to do that.
Halo 3 ODST, Shadow Complex.
But yeah, Nolan North is a lot of bros.
Ridiculous.
I guess that segues perfectly into our next article, that Mark Wahlberg has been confirmed to play Nathan Drake in a live-action Uncharted movie. He is no Nolan North.
They announced it, and I was like, who?
You don't know who Mark Wahlberg is?
I went on IMDb, and I was like, never seen that film.
He is the funkiest.
He had
a whole bunch of funky people.
There were a lot.
As far as I'm concerned, he's not Nathan Fillion.
That's true, I agree.
Before that, he's actually been in some really good movies. I had Four Brothers.
The Departed.
The other guys was good, The Departed.
Yeah, but I just kind of thought that...
He was really good in The Departed.
He was. Yeah. He kept saying wicked retarded. It's funny.
I don't know who this Mark Wahlberg guy is, but I thought that Nathan Fillion not only looks like Nathan Drake, he has a sort of similar physique to Nathan Drake. He speaks like Nathan Drake. I love him.
There's nothing else, I just love him.
And he wanted to be Nathan Drake.
And he wanted to be Nathan Drake as well. He was perfect.
But I assume, and this is just, is that they wanted, because Uncharted, I love the games, but they aren't really that well known. And they probably wanted somebody that's kind of famous in the role.
Nathan Fillion is kind of famous.
And he's not really that famous.
They could have made up a character for Mark Wahlberg to play, like his
brother.
To be honest, anyone with the Uncharted movie, they're primarily aiming at people who play the games, right?
Yeah.
And there's plenty of them. So surely then, consider Uncharted 2 won over 100 awards. At least somebody's going to check the
game. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's, but it's like one of those gamers games where it's kind of like gamers know it, and that's not always an audience. Look at what happened with Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I would have preferred, like, I think anyone worth their salt would have picked someone who's ideal for the role than more famous.
Personally speaking, I don't care who they cast because I don't have faith in this movie turning out well anyhow.
Oh, it's a video game movie, isn't it?
So.
Well, yeah,
I just think
it would have
been that much better with Nathan Fillion instead.
It's so true. It would have been a movie with a solid lead, but a piss poor script and terrible CGI.
there's so many people talking so much shit about Mark Wahlberg for this. It's like, I definitely don't think he's the right person for this role, but I mean, I don't have anything against him as an actor.
It could have been Matthew McConaughey. How about that?
I think he's a fine actor. I don't think he fits in this role because he kind of has that tough guy gruff. He doesn't have Nathan Drake to me is always kind of like
he's ordinary. That's the draw. He's ordinary.
Marky Mark stands out in a crowd. He has that rough and tough face to him. And also, who was it? Was it Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci as his father and uncle?
Yep, straight up.
I hope they're
trying.
What's
the deal with that, by the way?
Isn't Joe Pesci retired?
Like, what? When did Nathan Drake become
Italian?
Yeah.
I never actually thought of his nationality, but I heard Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. I'm like, okay, they're making him a stereotype, typical mobster Italian here. There's nothing in the games that doesn't say he doesn't have a father and an uncle, but.
He's gotta have one somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, but they could have been dead. He could have no relationship with them.
Maybe we'll find out in this prequel film.
Yes, I wonder if Saudi's gonna be
prequel. Wait, the film's gonna be a prequel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a prequel.
So that means we won't see that woman, that annoying woman.
That narrows it down.
The blonde woman.
Lisa?
She is lovely.
What are you talking about?
She's annoying.
Oh wow.
The blonde woman.
She's one of my favorite leads in a video game.
Okay, yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard sentiments like that expressed.
I don't like her.
I actually like most of the characters in Uncharted. Drake, Sully, Elena.
Elena, that's
douchebag buddy.
I can't remember douchebag buddy's name, but he was kind of cool in the opening scene.
I liked him.
Yeah, like, I didn't like him because he was a bad guy, but he was a good character.
The main problem I have with video game movies is, well, they turn out to be horrible writing and horrible acting anyway. But
well, to be fair, that's kind of what the video games are. People just kind of excuse them because they're not movies.
But the thing is, what would really kill it for me is you don't have the original people, because obviously the original people aren't actors. They're voice actors. So,
yeah, but, I mean...
Nolan North used to act. He was on Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, but he's not in the film, is he?
That's creepy that you know that.
He's not in the film, is he?
I guess not. Well, he could play his brother. How cool is that?
Why couldn't they have gotten Nolan North? He looks close enough, doesn't he?
Again, I assume the same reason they didn't get Nathan Fillion is that he's not a well-known person.
Yeah, but
he was Tobey Maguire when he played Spider-Man.
Yeah, how horrible he was.
Let's not get into Tobey Maguire and Spider-Man.
Okay.
I just think that you lose the character when you lose the voice actor.
But I can see that. I could see that, but at the same time, it's like me. I love Kevin Conroy's Batman, but that's not going to say I didn't want Christian Bale in the role because I have this voice for Batman in my head.
Do you like hearing throat cancer Batman?
we're not getting into throat cancer. I don't mind his voice. And the voice is something that's stolen from the comic books. Yes, it's a bit ridiculous, but based off the source material they were using, that's what Batman does. I swear.
I know, it's true. It's funny, though. I don't know.
Because if I'm not mistaken, it's like he has an animalistic scream or something like that. That's how Frank Miller words it in Batman Year One. And that's kind of what he goes for. It does kind of get ridiculous, especially in the scene when he's trying to have like a serious dialogue with the Joker.
I know, it's so funny.
It's a fine scene, but I just can't take that voice serious.
Good times.
See, I've always been cautiously optimistic about this movie anyway, because it's like, I feel like a lot of the elements that make Uncharted good would probably lend themselves well to a movie.
Like, see, that's the other thing I have an issue with, is that it's pretty much going to be an Indiana Jones movie.
But we don't get those that often. I mean, the last one we had was The Mummy, which was awesome, except for the sequels.
Well, I mean, technically we had the Kingdom
of the Crimson Skull.
There we go.
Yeah, but we don't. We just pretend that.
George Lucas doing this thing again.
It's not like it's like overrun with releases. The adventure category.
No.
Unless it's like a kid's movie or something, but...
Which is true, but at the same hand, can you top Indiana Jones? I won't say which one, because I'm sure everybody has their own opinion. There's one
and
correct
even
answer,
then, like,
but...
like, because when Uncharted first came out, everyone compared it to Lara Croft, didn't they? It's going to be the same. It may be the same thing with the movie. Oh, it's just Lara Croft with a guy instead.
Which would be Indiana Jones.
Ooh, parallel.
Okay, moving on, because we've actually spent longer on this than I thought. Double Fine announces a new game for XBLA and PSN called Stacking.
I think that looks amazing.
Yeah, but everyone said that about Costume Quest, didn't they?
I was going to say the same thing as him. I'm not going to get tricked by Double Fine. Oh, it looks great in trailers.
But this looks like Space Station Silicon Valley, which was an amazing game.
Somebody said on Twitter that they were beginning to think that Psychonauts was just a one-off and a fluke for Double Fine. And I was like, oh, getting serious now.
Yeah, because I saw this game and I'm like, it looks great. But I thought Costume Quest was awesome. And I played the game and I'm like, oh.
I think this is the way Double Fine work now, is they make games that look like they have a really good premise, but they just execute it all wrong.
Like, they need to come up with ideas and then ship it off to somebody else who can make it. And just kind of get their name stamped on it.
Become like a consulting branch or something?
Yes, exactly.
They can be the creative people, not the technical people.
Because there's something...
Although it does look weirdly interesting.
See, but all their games are interesting to some degree, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, and then you kind of get to it, and it's like, it's their brand of humor. I guess you either get it or you don't, because I didn't find Costume Quest.
I don't know anyone.
Or Brutal Legend. Did either of you play Brutal Legend?
I don't know anyone.
I played the demo, and that wasn't that... I actually know tons of people who like Costume Quest. I think Rampage liked it.
Rampage Jackson?
No, Rampage that. Mm-hmm. Somebody on Twitter.
Oh, I know him.
And while we're on Double Fine, they also announced DLC for Costume Quest.
Isn't it longer than the original game?
Christmas Quest?
I think they said it's about the same length or something.
Someone else I saw on Twitter, they were saying that if you have to buy the DLC to get the saves in the phone boxes, that's complete bullshit, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did it that way.
Probably. And it looks interesting. It's kind of weird that it's still trick-or-treating and it has a Christmas theme going on, but...
Yeah, but is it going to be still... Go to door to door, do stupid battle, do apple thing, collect cards, door to door, stupid battle.
Pretty much.
You know, just slapping another map in it is not going to work. Double Fine.
No, if they somehow patch in fun and an actual deep, it's kind of I'm asking for a deep RP. You know, just something that's not one
more fleshed out,
one special. Yeah, just kind of give up and get different moves because it's not even like you change your basic move attack throughout the course of the game. I guess you change it based on your costume, but, yeah.
Well, they need to if they put in elements in, I don't know if the game has elements, but maybe that could be just an easy way.
But, But again, I understand. Because there aren't many RPGs to compare it to. There aren't any downloadable RPGs that I can think of off the top of my head. So maybe it's a limitation of the size, or maybe they just wanted a game smaller in scope.
I just think it's the fact that they wanted a light RPG, but they went too light.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you think of an RPG that you would consider light, Pokemon, when you look at it,
I wouldn't compare it to Pokemon. I understand what you mean, but Pokemon's very complex.
Yeah, I stopped playing it because it was too deep.
See, the thing is Pokemon's weird. Is it's really light if you just think about the moves and what Pokemon you have, but you can get really deep into it as well. I don't know. Maybe they just need to look kind of more at what they're doing with Pokemon.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you want more, I would say like the Mario series, Paper Mario or Mario and Luigi.
I never got to play any of those.
Oh, those are more, I think, simplified RPGs because for the most, you have the attacks and they're all kind of time-based, but, you know, it's not very deep. I don't think it's kind of, you won't compare it to like a Final Fantasy, I think.
Yeah, but Final Fantasy 13.
We are not getting on Final Fantasy 13 again. You and Chad already had your debate on that.
This is
going to
be an interesting discussion. Let's do it.
No, you two
Let's
had your debate.
Let's see where this goes.
No, you two had your discussion. We're moving on.
I said that on purpose. Just to get that out.
And I think that's it for news. If somebody has anything to talk about.
Golden Sun DS comes out next week.
That reminds me, and since we didn't, did anybody pick up or play Gran Turismo this week?
Tumbleweed.
Okay.
Racing games are lame. Move on.
See, I don't mind racing games. I don't like that type of racing game. Or I guess more of a driving game than it is a racing game.
It just seems to me that it's more of a, like, I don't know.
I think
graphics
it's
wank. Everyone just wants to take pictures of cars, and racing's just kind of like a side
so
quest.
Here's the thing that I've been kind of looking at all the stuff to do with GT5. So as from what I can tell, long-term fans of the series will love it because it doesn't really change anything. People who look at it from who look at the game for on its own will see just a racing sim that looks bad in some places and really good in others when it should be.
And they're so weird. I mean, I understand why, but I was actually, I guess they actually just up-res stuff from GT4 and put it in this game.
So also to do with the cars, there's two tiers of cars and there's premium and I can't remember what the other cars and obviously
standard.
Standard. And so all the standard cars look like crap. And they can't take damage. And there's
actually,
only 200 premium cars. So only 200 of the 1,000 cars they have in that game can take damage and look good.
And you can only take damage once you reach level 40?
I don't know about that. But
no,
I've seen some videos of like people trying to damage the cars, and they don't damage a whole lot.
No, I think because I was reading an article yesterday because I get links to stuff from people on Twitter, and I think you unlock damage at 20, and then you unlock real damage at 40.
Why do you have to unlock damage?
Because according to the person, the article I was reading, it's like it was a way to ease a casual gamer into the series.
Does it affect the gameplay at all? Like,
yeah, because I guess if you damage your car, it actually shows. Like, I don't know if it shows down your car, like if your tire can spin out or whatever. But
the worst thing I've seen is. Like, there was one person in specific, and I'm not going to mention them, and what they did is they were talking about how the IGN and stuff that gave the game an 8.5, it's around there, out of 10, they were saying, oh, they didn't play long enough. Oh, they didn't play long enough. This game is amazing. This game is amazing. You should see the game for what it is on its own. And I'm just sitting there thinking, but you're not doing that. You're saying it's a GT game. Therefore, it's amazing. It's the best thing ever.
And I think that happens with any big franchise. But here's another thing that I found weird with the reviews with this game is 8.5 is not a terrible score at all. It actually means
it's just
the game's good.
What are you talking about?
That's the problem I don't get with this whole 3-point scale video game review.
Expectations, man.
People I get got expectations. I really I
especially when this game has been so long coming. Like,
as far as I can tell, it had a prologue. It's not been 6 years worth of development.
From what I understand, though, it has been 6 years worth of development. The problem is it's a game that was started 6 years ago and finished 6 years ago. Because it's like everybody, like most of the reviews I've read, is like it's a game that kind of exists in a bubble where it's like a game that would have worked well 6 years ago and they didn't take into account any of the advancements that happened in the 6 years between when they started this and when they ended it.
Well, that's the thing. Forza's going to come out and it's going to be like, oh, like people have moved on.
That time. Three of them.
So, yeah, and I mean, I don't know, any. I don't know, none of you have played it, but I don't know if you've seen the menu. The menu is just confusing.
Not only that, it's, it kind of, it uses the old, you know, it's the same style that GTA has had forever, where you've got a cursor and you have to navigate the cursor around. It's like, and the way they've organized things on the menu doesn't really play well with that sort of thing.
And it doesn't look like everything's kind of spelled
like
out for you.
It's kind of like a menu you'd see on a PC game, because obviously the mouse is suited to that sort of interface, but controller isn't. So you've got you've got all these blocks everywhere, and you just have to go left, left, up, left, up, right, to get to something.
Anyhow.
It's also pretty adamant about you making sure your clock is right also.
Yeah, I assume you saw the giant bomb quick look.
Yeah, I did. Quick.
Why? What happened?
Yeah. Oh, because apparently the menu is based on your internet connection. So like when the first couple of days when it was out and the server was getting hammered, so it would take people like a minute to navigate the menu. And then when they went to do an online raise, the game had to update the internal clock of the game, even though it was the right time. So they were sitting on the menu for like 2 minutes. And it doesn't show you that it's doing anything. It's just not moving.
It's funny you say that, because I saw an article like 20 minutes ago, it must have been, just browsing, and it said something about if you're having long load times in GTA 5, disconnect from PSN.
Yeah. Well, the long load times also affects the fact that this game
is huge.
Yeah, because I think it's an additional, if you choose, it's a 45 to 50 minute install when you first boot up the game.
That doesn't, and if you cheap. The thing is, it sounds larger than it is. It's only
10 gigs.
It's 6.4, which is if you were to install any 360 game, really. But it takes 50 minutes because Sony put a slow as hell Blu-ray drive in the PS3.
Well, to be fair, and that was the only Blu-ray drive available at the time.
Yeah, and it was also, I think it's, if you choose not to, it installs it during the game, so you just get these really long periods of time where it's, like, loading and installing stuff, so it makes sense to just do it in one shot instead of, like, I don't know if any of you have seen the Giant Bomb Cricket, but they would sit on menus for, like, 5 minutes as it's loading up.
That's insane. I thought Uncharted 2 took long to load.
Yeah, I have no problems with installs, like, I guess it's good to have them optional, but I always install. Like if the
I wish they would be optional. Because I mean, I guess I can replace it, but like I have a 60 gig PS3, so my space has pretty much been filled up on just installing games.
Yeah,
which is one of the reasons I avoid trying to buy them. Is that I don't want to keep on deleting these install files.
Oh, you do know you could just go buy a standard laptop hard drive.
That's what I said. I can replace it, but you know,
that's money.
Exactly. I bought a 60 gig hard drive. I expected it to last me more than a year.
Yeah, I've got 500 megabytes left on mine. It tells me every time I boot up. It's like, hey, you should probably, you know, delete something maybe.
So, yeah. Anyhow, that should do it for our news and crafting on Gran Turismo 5 segment. And now comes my favorite new segment, and this is a new segment, Mike.
Oh.
Even though we've done it for 2 weeks, I don't think you and Chad have
relatively
been
new.
It is our Fresh. not game of the year segment, where we discuss a game that we know won't win game of the year from any of us. Just
Game that we know won't, or game that we know should, but isn't going to anyway because everyone else is judgmental and thinks portable games aren't worth giving Game of the Year to.
Oh.
That is a long category, and there's no rule against There's no rule against portable games getting Game of the Year. There is a rule against games that are ports of an original game on a portable system winning Game of the Year.
Oh. Shit. Well then.
So. No, it's just like games that you kind of like are good, but you know, like I think we've done Halo Reach, we've done Call of Duty Black Ops, we did
Crackdown 2 last week.
Crackdown 2. Okay, it doesn't always have to be good games.
Well, Crackdown 2 had potential. I mean,
it had potential. But
it just turned out to be the original game, as we said last week.
Two extra players in multiplayer.
Yes,
that's not. That's not justification for an entire new game at $60.
So, well, I guess Mike and Chad won't know what to do, so I guess Daniel can start with what's not going to be Game of the Year.
Frostbite 2.
Fair enough. Why?
Capcom's is part of Capcom's, we need to make games that appeal to Western people sort of plan that doesn't really work.
That doesn't work, but to be fair, Lost Fan, it was. It's not like their other games where they tried it with one of their original Japanese games and it kind of... I guess Resident Evil 5 did okay, but Lost Fan,
So Lost Planet 2, it was fun. Only when you had three other friends to play it with. Because... So it's kind of like... The way they set the game up is it's kind of like Left 4 Dead, so it's four people playing cooperatively, you have to help each other out and stuff. But if you decide, the thing with Left 4 Dead is you can play it on your own. You can play it on your own, and the only advantage of playing it with other people is you get...
I don't think Left 4 Dead with bots.
Well, Left 4 Dead with bots is playable.
It's playable, right? It's just not as fun.
Lost Planet 2 with bots is not playable, because... it really shows how they didn't really polish the game. So, for example, when you get to a boss fight, and there's a lot of them in this game, the boss will just do some sweeping attack that you can't avoid half the time, and it will knock you into an area of the map that just instantly kills you because it's out of the map. And instead of giving you time to get back, it just kills you instantly. And also... The biggest thing that killed it for me is Left 4 Dead, you can drop in and out, right? So as I connect to a game, I can just drop in as whatever character it assigns me. With Lost Planet 2, you have to wait in the menu until they get to the end of the level. So I'm trying to play online with a stranger or three strangers, and I'm sitting there waiting because I don't know how far into the level they are, and they could be half an hour. And it just... Why put in a co-op system like that and not have drop-in, drop-out? I don't understand.
I never get when games do that. Like, Marvel vs. Ultimate Alliance was like that. Like, you had a four-party team, somebody acted out, the entire game drops.
To summarize...
What about the sequel? Did they fix that?
No, that's in the sequel, too.
To summarize why Lost Planet 2 is not Game of the Year, it has no drop-in, drop-out co-op. It relies on being able to play with people online because single-player is unplayable. And the bosses are so frustrating to kill half the time because they just knock you and instant kill you.
Okay. Have either of you decided?
Huh?
Have you or Chad decided what your not Game of the Year is going to be?
I got one.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, Vanquish, because Bayonetta came out too, and that game is just pale in comparison.
I thought Vanquish shouldn't be because nobody bought it, but
it's a really good game. People should buy it and check it out. It's fun. But having Bayonetta came out from the same company is just like it's not going to exist when it comes to Game of the Year.
By the sounds of it, Bayonetta is about 4 or 5 times as long.
That's also true, but this has way more replayability. Like, I mean, like it's great in a different way. And it plays fantastic. I mean, everything about it is really polished, and it's a lot of fun, but it didn't have the impact it needed to, being, I don't know what, like Gears of War on crack. Whereas, okay, it's like Bayonetta is a Japanese developer doing what Japanese developers do really well and perfecting it. Vanquish is a Japanese developer doing what Western companies do really well and doing pretty good.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chad? Still
I guess I'm going to go with probably the best JRPG to come out during the month of March.
Yakuza 3.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that came out March, didn't it?
Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver? I don't...
Okay, well, I was going to say Resonance of Fate, because part of me still holds out hope that Yakuza 3 is actually going to win GOTY from somebody. But, no, Resonance of Fate, you know, that RPG that came out on the same day as Final Fantasy. Because
I have no idea what that
is. Is it like an iPhone game or something?
See, no one knows. This is what happens when you release a game on the same day as the biggest RPG release of the year. I mean, we can debate whether Final Fantasy was actually good or not, and in fact, we have debated that all the time.
There's no debating that it was the biggest.
But it was huge, yeah.
Well,
and so,
Pokemon.
Sega, in their immortal wisdom, decided, hey, let's take this RPG that we've got and release it on this day.
Wait. Sega released two RPGs in the same a week apart?
Yeah.
Okay. This is why Sega is the number one company in the world.
Yeah.
Go on.
So, yeah, Resonance of Fate was a fantastic game. It did something JRPGs rarely do, and that is innovate.
How
like,
so?
It had a battle system unlike any battle system that I've played yet.
Oh, I heard about that. By the sounds of it, if somebody explained it to you, because I was, you know, I was hearing an explanation, I was like, what? I don't understand
it's
this.
Very difficult to explain. And strangely enough, it doesn't actually have a tutorial. There's no tutorial anywhere in the game at all.
Doesn't like, it tell you to read the manual?
It tells you to read the manual, and then there's a Colosseum you can find. And you can train yourself in the battle system there. It'll take you through step by step and show you. But there's no, like, evident, like, tutorial of, oh, yeah, here's how you do it if you're confused. So, but no, it's, once you get it, it feels really fluid. It's just, it's really, 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 really fun. And, I don't know, I just think that it's been overshadowed so much by Final Fantasy coming out on the same day. I mean, March was just huge this year. Everything came out in March. So, I mean, I think a lot of people just totally missed it, and that's why it's not going to get Game of the Year.
And that happens. And my not Game of the Year would be Metroid Other M, which was a good game. It's probably not the best story-driven game this year. It has a ton of control issues that you get used to, but it still has issues. And it wasn't really a, I mean, it's a good game, like I said. I just don't think it leaves a strong impression on you other than the fact that Samus can be very special when a man's around.
Not enough TNA?
And she gets scared of things that she's killed 7 times already.
I still kind of defend that decision personally. It's like a horror movie. If you kill Freddy in the first movie, you come in the second movie, you come in the third movie, and he shows up there in the fifth movie, wouldn't you freak out again?
I would complain about the writing.
Okay. But if you're in the movie, not if you're
watching.
I'd
break the fourth wall and complain about the writing.
You bring him back to life again? Come on, I killed him 4 times already. Why? But yeah, it's kind of like, you know, she kills him in Metroid. She kills him and builds up the fan he's on in Super Metroid. She fights a metal version of him in Metroid Prime.
Are we talking about Ridley?
Yeah.
Okay.
And after all it is, he still comes back to life and haunts her. So, I mean, it could have been a bit too much, especially the fact I wouldn't have minded so much if she had sprung into action after freaking out and being dragged across the wall, and she wasn't saved by the dude whose name escapes me at this point.
The guy with the stupid face when his mask goes up?
Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah. Anthony, there we go. I don't know how that helped, but, yeah. So, Yeah, that's why it's not my game of the year. So I think that should do it for us. In conclusion, we have added to this list, which at some point I should probably jot down so we can have it more detailed. We have Renaissance of Fate. Resonance of Fate, Vanquish, and Lost Planet 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on top of Halo Reach, Call of Duty Black Ops, No More Heroes 2,
Crackdown
2. And I'm sure we've done others, but yeah. And we shall, as I announced last week, we are doing a call-in segment for our Game of the Year podcast. So if you want to leave your Game of the Year nomination or pick, you can reach us at 347-470-6373 and, you know, just leave a brief message and explaining why so-and-so is your Game of the Year or...
Was that an actual phone number?
Yeah, it is.
That sounded like you said a million numbers right there.
347 is the area code.
Okay.
470-6373.
Okay, that was
and easy. That's US only, just in case.
Well, it's US and Canadian, and I'm sure there's some way you can find to call it in Europe. You can probably
maybe able to use Skype, but you need money for
yeah.
that.
Or I don't know if you have Google Voice.
No,
I don't know.
We don't, unfortunately.
You don't have it through Gmail?
No, not even through there.
Oh, well, maybe we'll try to set up some type of a number you can call through. I don't know. And if you listen to this podcast and enjoy it, you can leave us a review at iTunes, on iTunes, I should say. And, you know, whatever you feel fit between 1 and 5, even though I like to use a scale of 5 points, just like any video game review.
So 5 is so if you think this podcast is crap, give us 5 stars. If you think it's average, give us 5 stars. Or if you really love it, give us 5 stars, yeah?
Yeah, and it'd be like any other video game review on that perfect scale. So, yeah, and that should do it for Dual Wielding episode 13.
You almost forgot then.
I always forget at the end. I just kind of like I'll buy time until that. Oh, I guess I should have said goodbye on your behalf. So, if you folks want to,
bye.
Bye.
See ya. By the way, that Resonance of Fate gameplay looks awesome. I got a pocket full of quarters and I'm headed to the arcade. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm bringing everything I made. I got a callus on my finger and my shoulder's hurting too. I'm gonna eat them all up just as soon as they turn blue. Cause I got Pac-Man fever.
Pac-Man fever.
It's driving me.
'cause I